Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Mint, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black My Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button, and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, because this is a fruit bat-free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. For some reason, you know, they just don't understand that. But I just wanted to play this clip of Kamala Harris, something that Kamala Harris said that that should tell you what their main agenda is. And this clip is only a few seconds long, so without further ado, let me play this clip.
Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
So you hear what she said right there. For some reason, my microphone was off. I don't know why. I thought I pushed the button to turn it on. But you hear what... You hear what Kamala said right there. She said let me play it again.
Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
I'll play it again.
Think about the impact on something like public health. When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
She said, if you invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and depopulation, that's the part that I want to listen to what she's saying there. Depopulation. And she said, you know, she's basically saying this is for the children. Our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water and everything. Basically, what people like Kamala Harris and all the other libtards are basically saying is that people are a disease on the face of this planet. And unless we reduce the number of people on this planet's not going to survive. That's basically what they're saying. Oh, before I go any further, hello, Robert. Robert's in here, and Sarge just joined in the chat room. Just want to give you guys a shout out. But that's what Kamala Harris is all about. Kamala and her cronies, you know, clean energy, you know, electric vehicles and depopulation. Now, depopulation, that sounds a little painful, because the only way you're going to depopulate is to reduce the present population as it is now. And one of the misconceptions that they keep pushing is that there are too many people on this earth. There are too many people on this planet, you know, and it's going to mess this planet up. The planet's going to reel to and fro, and calamity and everything like that is going to occur because we got too many people on this planet. Now, let me tell you all something. They have been repeating this same mantra ever since I was in elementary school. I remember when I went to the National Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C., which is my favorite museum in the world. I love that museum. But I remember we had a field trip to that museum, and they had this computer in there. You know, this was like early 80s, like 1980, 81. And they had a computer in there. I remember this. Now, I can't prove it to you or anything like that, but I remember this. And this computer was basically, you know, you typed in a year, and the computer would predict what would happen during that year. And so I typed in the year 2000, and they said overpopulation is going to overrun this planet, and there's going to be famines everywhere, and it's going to be, most of the people on this planet won't be able to feed themselves. But lo and behold, we have already passed through the threshold of the year 2000. And a lot of us are still well-fed. A lot of us are not struggling for food or anything like that. You know, it hasn't been the disaster that people made it out to be. Now, back then, they weren't talking about global warming, so to speak. You know, they probably were, you know, getting their vocal cords warmed up to start singing that mantra, but they weren't talking about it as much as they are talking about it today. But they've been singing this, they've been doing this entire, the same song and dance since at least the 70s. Talking about we're all going to starve and, you know, and things, and it's going to be so hard and everything. And the very people, if you would notice, the very people who keep pushing this, they look well-fed themselves. Look at Kamala. Kamala's not she's not what you call slim. Now, I wouldn't say she's grossly overweight or anything like that, but she's not what you would call slim. She looks healthy. But part of the liberal reducing their reducing the population plan, you know, it's already in place. It's called abortion. And, you know, they say, you know, in order for our children to survive, we gotta reduce the population. Well, Kamala, I need to inform you about something. If we reduce the population, there won't be too many people. There won't be too many children that we need to worry about. I mean, think about that. And I've heard some estimates that they said that they want to reduce the population to at least 500 million people, because, you know, we got too many people in the world today. We got too many people, you know. And of course, they're going to get to pick and choose who lives and who doesn't live. I don't know if you all ever seen that movie 2012
back in the year 2012. My wife and I went to see that movie. You know, we were just curious about it and everything. I wasn't believing, you know, any of that garbage in that movie. You know, it was entertaining and whatever, but, you know, but they were saying, you know, there was going to be a catastrophic flood and all this and everything. And they chose the people who were going to survive. And they said, you know, these dignitaries, they're going to survive, you know, the Queen of England and all that and everything. The president sacrificed himself for his daughter, you know, which I thought was noble. But that of course, it was a movie. It was just a movie. But they said, we gotta save the leaders. And then once we get them saved, then we'll pick and choose which of the common citizens around the world will get to survive. And see, listen to what they're saying when they say they want to reduce the population. It's going to be at their discretion. And see, you know, and in a way, I think a lot of these disaster movies are feeding into the fear, you know, inadvertently, you know, into the fear that, oh, you know, volcanoes and earthquakes. Now, let me say this, though. I am a born-again Christian, and I do believe the Bible when it talks about wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places. I understand that. But what we're seeing in the movies, it's like this is going to be just the end of civilization, just as we know it. It's nothing. A lot of these disaster movies, they really don't have a biblical concept to back them up, because in the movie 2012, the planet suffers a catastrophic flood that mimics Noah's flood. Now, when God put the rainbow in the sky, to you gays and transgenders out there, it wasn't about, you know, supporting gay rights and transgender rights. It was a message. It was a promise that the world is not going to be destroyed by a flood again. Now, some of you all might be like, well, I live in the Mississippi Valley, you know, we suffer floods all the time. But what it's talking about is a worldwide flood. So, you know, like I said, 2012, it was entertaining, but it wasn't based on truth. But they're going to use their discretion. The elites are going to use their discretion to determine who survives and who doesn't. Another movie that I saw, Deep Impact, about a comet that was going to hit the Earth. Once again, entertaining, not based on truth. It was entertaining. But once again, they had a lottery system. You know, you draw straws or some crazy mess like that. And they determine who survives based on that. They're going to be the ones who determine who survives. Now, given the people in the movie Deep Impact was a lot more sympathetic, because it was telling people, well, if you haven't been picked, you know, we know where you can go to escape the coming calamity, you know. It wasn't like a end of the world scenario. But listening to Kamala Harris, Sarge is already putting his little talking points in here. He said, Kamala said, when we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, says Kamala, lead by example. Why don't you just off yourself then? Yeah. Exactly. Basically what Kamala Harris is saying is, oh no, not me. You need to, you know, we need to reduce you all. You all need to drive an electric vehicle. You all need to indulge in clean energy. But me and my family, we're going to continue to have our nice house on the coast, even though we tell you that, you know, the oceans are rising and, you know, Certain cities are going to be underwater and all that crazy mess. We're going to continue to fly in our polluting airplanes. We're going to continue flying in our polluting SUVs and whatever. But you need to do your part to reduce. You know, it's a do as I say, not as I do type of scenario, basically. So, and this isn't what I wanted to talk about, but you know, and I saw it. I said, yeah, this is their agenda right here. Sometimes they slip up, and just like Sarge is saying in the chat room, definition of gaffe. When someone in Washington says what they really mean, and that's exactly what Kamala Harris was saying, what she really meant. But oh no, she's not going to worry about that. She's not going to step up to the plate and be an example. She's telling you to be an example, because you know people like Kamala, they're the elites. They're the higher ups. So they don't have to make them sacrifices, but you do. That's how they think. And for those of you all who continue to vote for these rascals, thinking that they don't care about you one lick of cent. They do not care about you. You might think they do. They might convince you that they do. But if you dig a little deeper and stop just letting the news media feed into your brain what they want you to hear, then you will understand that these people really don't care about you. And they will have you, they will divert you to the other side, the Republicans and the conservatives, who in some ways are not that much better than the liberals and the Democrats, but you know, they got warring sides and everything, and they'll point you to them and say, look at what they're doing. Look at what they're doing. But all the while, they are preparing to plunge that dagger into your back. But oh no, let's vote for this person because, oh, that's a black woman and all this crazy mess, you know. Let's vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson because she's a proud black woman from Harvard. Yeah. And then you can sit there and brag about, oh, yeah, oh, we got the first black woman in the Supreme Court. Joe Biden filibustered a black woman in the 90s, kept her from, not the 90s, the early 2000s, kept her from getting the seat on the Supreme Court. We don't look at that. They sit there and they choose to demonize people like Clarence Thomas, who I think is probably the best Supreme Court justice we've ever had. You know, you might disagree, that's fine. But from what I see, the job that he's doing, I'd say he's the best one we've ever had. But that's what they do. They do they use diversionary tactics to get your focus off of what is really going on. While they hypocritically keep pointing to the other side, they're doing the same thing and probably 10 to 20 times worse than the other side is doing. But I just wanted to share that. Clip with you guys. But let me go on to what I wanted to talk about today, and let me tell you all something. If this doesn't raise red flags in your brain or in your conscience or whatever, there's absolutely no hope for you. You all, of course, we all have heard about the cocaine, the bag of cocaine that was found in the White House recently. Now, just let that sink in a little bit. Bag of cocaine in the White House. Think about that. I want to let that sink in and simmer in your mind for a bit. So this cocaine was found in the White House. And, you know, different stories came out about where it was found, how much of it was, and what have you. The Secret Service launched an investigation to see who brought this cocaine into the White House. And just a couple of days ago, they said, okay, we're suspending the investigation. We have no evidence of who brought this cocaine into the White House. Now, think about that for a minute, you all. Think about that for a second. This is the White House, the executive mansion, the home to the present president of the United States. Now, think about what it means to say the White House, the executive mansion. When you think about the White House and its security, the White House is probably the most secure residence in the United States of America. Maybe the world. They have pinpoint security measures in the White House. You can't hop the fence of the White House, not unless you happen to be Barack Obama. I don't know. Somehow someone ended up inside the White House when Barack Obama was president. I don't know how that happened, but Typically, you cannot hop the fence to the White House and get away with it before you are descended upon by guard dogs and security. Now, they said the reason why they don't know who brought the cocaine into the White House is because it was found in a blind spot. Think about that again. Found in a blind spot. A blind spot. So you don't have security footage of people that come through the White House. I'm pretty sure that people who visit the White House, they're also scrutinized by security as well. They said there was a guy who brought some marijuana into the White House one time. And when they discovered it, they kicked him out the White House and banned him for life. Banned him for life. Now, folks, does all this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? You know, oh, we have no evidence, so we're suspending the investigation. Does this sound familiar to you guys? Doesn't this remind you of a certain pretty recent presidential election? We have no evidence, so we're going to suspend the investigation. Or basically, I don't think they did any investigating. They just decided they knew what was going on, but they just decided, you know what, we're not going to investigate this. You know, let's just, you know, oh yeah, water under the bridge. Okay, let's continue forward. But think about it. If that cocaine had been found in the White House under another administration, I'm not going to mention any names, but I'll just give you a code word, Cheetos. If it had been found under another certain administration, we would be talking about this from now until the end of next year's election. And when I heard that the Secret Service was suspending the investigation, I wasn't really that surprised. I wasn't that surprised. They said they investigated, try to find out who brought that cocaine into the White House, and we didn't find out who it was. So they suspended the investigation. In other words, they canceled it. Now, people, I don't care which side of the fence you sit on, whether you are a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative or a liberal. That should have raised a red flag in your brain right there. But you know what? Because we're so political and we're so used to taking sides, we're always going to believe the side of the fence that we stand on, whether it's a lie or if it, you know, it might not be the truth. Even if it's a lie, we will still sit there and say, oh, no, they didn't find any evidence. They didn't find any evidence. And you know good and well how secure the White House is. And they could have found out in 30 seconds who brought that cocaine into the White House. Because like I said, the White House has pinpoint security. Now, I've been to the White House. I haven't been inside the White House. But even someone with the brain of a dead earthworm can tell you that there's a polecat in the hen house. Something don't sit right here. You mean to tell me you got the most secure residence probably in the entire world, and they don't know who brought the cocaine in there? And they suspended the investigation less than 2 weeks after that cocaine was found. That should have you suspicious. But you know, a lot of you all out there who follow the liberal mindset, you'll be like, oh, they ain't nothing to talk about. We don't need to talk about, okay, that's over. Okay, let's continue forward. Folks, let me tell you. These people are so willing for Joe Biden to win next year's election. They're just willing to overlook anything that points in his direction. Now, we all heard about Hunter Biden and the laptop and his crack habit and the prostitutes. We've all heard about that. Well, they ain't find, once again, they're like, oh, we ain't find no evidence. Oh, we really didn't find anything. And they kept that evidence, you know, that helped. And those of you all out there who still believe that Joe Biden won fair and square, won, he got 81 million votes more than any other candidate in U.S. history, you're not being genuine with yourself. You are not being genuine with yourself. I don't care who you are. You're not being genuine with yourself. And yeah, they made the same excuse. There's no evidence that shows that there was cheating during the 2020 election. You lied. Oh, let's just go on forward. Okay, y'all, let's just forget this. Then January 6th come up. Oh, did you see that? Insurrection. Donald Trump is trying to take back his power. And we listen to the liberal side whine and moan for 4 years about Donald Trump being an illegitimate president. Listen to it for 4 years. But then when Joe Biden suspiciously wins the 2020 election, everybody's like, okay, we'll just go forward. You know, Whoopi Goldberg up there like, suck it up. Suck it up. I'm like, you of all people need to shut your mouth, because we listened to you for 4 years and you're still talking about it to this day about how Donald Trump really didn't win the election because it was Russian collusion. Even when the evidence, they now see, they had the evidence on Donald Trump that he did not use Russian collusion to win the presidency in 2016. Still want to believe somehow he had, those Russians had something to do with Donald Trump winning the election. And no, I do not believe that Joe Biden that your boy lost. Now, it has nothing to do with that. We had a president that I didn't agree with named Barack Obama. He won two terms as president. I didn't say anything about that. I was like, oh, he's not a legitimate president. I didn't like that he was our president, but I was like, hey, that's how the process works. He's our president. But I do have questions about Joe Biden being in office right now. And you all, and folks, really, when you watch the news and you see Joe Biden on the news, just study the man's actions and how he carries himself, his mannerisms and all that. And ask yourself, is this a person that I actually voted to be our president? He's like, he can't think out of a paper bag. He's always falling, always tripping and falling. But you all act like he is such a great president. You know, when he won the presidency, Nancy Pelosi gets up there and says, now that adults are back in the White House, because they simply did not like Donald Trump. That's all this is about. We don't like Donald Trump. We don't want him to be president anymore. We gotta dig up some dirt on him. We gotta find something out about this guy. And everything that they threw against Donald Trump, they tried to throw it up against the wall and it would not stick. The only thing that stuck was that phony election in 2020. You're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama. I don't agree with Barack Obama, but you're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden had more votes than Hillary Clinton. And that he won because of his popularity. No, you're not going to get me to believe that. You're not going to get me to believe that Donald Trump gained 11 million more votes than he did in the first election, and he still lost. That's my evidence. I mean, think about it. Think about how popular Barack Obama was. And I'm not talking about his policies or anything like that. I'm talking about a lot of people admired Barack Obama to the point. Well, I think they admired his wife more than they admired Barack Obama, be honest with you. And every time Michelle Obama makes an appearance, everybody's, oh, there she is. Oh, look at her. She's so elegant. Oh, this. Oh, look at them. They're such a nice-looking couple. Now, before I go on and say anything else, folks, stop it with the Michelle Obama is a man stuff, please. Nobody has been able to prove that. Nobody has been able to prove it. You know, people say, oh, she's a man and all that and everything. Oh, how come we don't see pregnant pictures of her? Y'all stop it. Stop it. Now y'all stooping as low as the liberals now when you do that mess. Don't do that. That her children are really children of another couple. I've seen it all. Y'all stop that. Stop it. You have no evidence. So, you know, stop that mess. But a lot of us, we hold the Obamas in such high regard. You're not going to get me to believe that Joe Biden garnered a vast amount of number of votes than Barack Obama. You're not going to get me to believe that. Or Hillary Clinton. But we listened to you all for 4 years, wheedle, whine, and moan about how Donald Trump is not a legitimate president because of Russian collusion. And they went into detail with that investigation. Oh, no, that wasn't, oh, we're not going to let this one pass. And it turned out no Russian collusion. But some people still want to believe that. But here we are with the cocaine in the White House. I guess whoever had that cocaine wanted to make sure the White House stayed white. After a few days, they're like, oh, there's no evidence. We don't, you got fingerprints, you got DNA. You're not going to tell me that whoever brought that cocaine into the White House that they had gloves on. And like I said, I don't have proof, but I believe it was someone who was close to Joe Biden, namely Hunter Biden. The first name that came in my mind, Hunter Biden. Because we've seen the videos where he's sitting there high on crack, because dude's a crackhead. His dallying with prostitutes is almost legendary. I'd say infamous. But, oh, no. But let it have been a child of Donald Trump, and we wouldn't hear the end of it. Oh, well. Pallets of truth into the chat room. He said, what was so admirable about Michelle? She had a 250 grand job at the University of Chicago to send poor patients with no health care to public taxpayer supported institutions. And I would like to add to that, she was part of the council, I guess, to shut down the Cabrini Green projects in Chicago. Basically, they gentrified that area of Chicago. She was one of those who agreed that Cabrini Green should come down. But you hear people talking about, oh, they just want to get rid of black folks. Well, there was a black woman right there who agreed that Cabrini Green should be taken down. And, oh, wait a minute, Sarge. You must also consider the possibility that cocaine is more effective than Adderall for dementia. I did not know that. Really? So basically, what you're saying, there's a possibility that Hunter Biden could have been sharing some of this cocaine with his daddy? Now, these are just allegations. These are just allegations, folks. I'm not saying that this is the actual thing going on. But it seems like too many pieces are coming together here. Seems like too many pieces are falling in, too many of them are falling into place here. I'm not saying that it's actual. And I'm not trying to put it out there that, you know, Joe Biden is taking cocaine for his dementia. And folks, let me just say this. If you don't think that Joe Biden is suffering from dementia, then you're probably suffering from it yourself. I'm not going to be nice about this. I'm not going to be nice about it. But these are two incidents, at least two incidents that we've had when they looked into, because we have a liberal president right now, and people want to look into and investigate their dallyings. But because it's a liberal president, they're like, oh, it's no evidence here. Use a lie. And those of you all who say, oh, you know they ain't find no evidence, how do you know? Well, how do you know that they did find evidence? Well, I can look at the White House being one of the most secure households in the world. And come to the conclusion, wait a minute. They know who they know who had that cocaine. They know it. Sarge. Oh my goodness, that is funny, Sarge. He said, looking at the beach videos, he might also be suffering from Weekend at Bernie syndrome. You, Sarge, you need to cut that. Now, a lot of this is going on. A lot of this is going on. Let me tell you why this is going on. Because the powers that be, especially the liberals, they are counting on our stupidity. And sad enough as it is, there are a lot of stupid people who are going to overlook this, and they're still going to vote for Joe Biden. In their minds, oh, no more investigation. They didn't find any evidence. Okay, well, that's all we need to know. But those who are like, wait a minute, you're not going to let us, we're not going to let you get by that easy. They want to point to them and say, oh, you just want to demonize the president. No, it has nothing to do with demonizing him. It has to do with following due process. That's what it has to do with. And they did not follow due process. You're not going to tell me that these people followed due process and declaring no evidence in this case. You're not going to convince me of that. This is politics, pure and simple. That's Sarge. Oh boy, Sarge, your sense of humor is very strong. You're not, folks, you know, this is what I was telling someone yesterday. You cannot just take what the news media says and says, okay, well, they said it's over. Boom. Okay, that's it. That's it. Hey, you know, they said it's over. Okay. I got a little less than 10 minutes for the break. I wanted to go into this movie that a lot of people are talking about, The Sound of Freedom. This movie is supposedly based on a true story. And it's about this guy, you know, he's part of the Organization of the Underground Railroad, something like that. It's spelled O-U-R. And a lot of people are singing the praises of this movie and whatever. Now, I'm just giving you my take on this, okay? I'm not beating you over the head because you saw this movie. I'm not beating you over the head because of it. But there is evidence that the events that happened in that movie didn't happen the way that you see it in that movie. Now, I know, you know, people can take a historic license or whatever, and they can, you know, dramatize certain parts and everything. But some of these errors in this movie are so off key, I guess. You know, like the girl in the movie that they said the man had to go into the jungle and rescue the girl and everything. They said that never happened. And some people said they were inspired at the end of the movie, the message at the end of the movie, you know, when John Caviezel got up there and he said, you know, we need you to tell your friends about this movie to help these children and whatever. And we need you to, if you know a friend who would like to see this movie, won't you buy a ticket for him and everything? To me, that looked like a cash grab to me, because we don't need to watch a movie to help these kids who are involved in child trafficking. This has been going on for decades, probably centuries. And we didn't need a movie before, but he put out the plea. Help. Now it does say something about the direction Hollywood is going into, because this movie beat out the Dial of Destiny, the Indiana Jones movie. Because Hollywood right now is just a crap show. That's basically what Hollywood is. Hollywood is going down the drain. And the ones leading the way down that drain is Disney. Disney could have had the Sound of Freedom movie. Now, I'm not telling you not to go see the movie or anything like that. But don't let someone tell you, oh, you need to see this movie. Okay, yeah, I'll help you. I'll get you some tickets to see this movie and everything and stuff like that. You know, go, you know, if you want to see the movie, go ahead and see it. But I'm just saying that, see, here's the problem I have with movies like this. We live in a media world that is dominated by the left, by the liberals, which means their voice is going to be the loudest. So they can make a movie and we can point out the discrepancies in a movie that the liberals make. And people will be like, huh, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. But when someone on the right makes a movie and does the same thing the left does, then that's going to gain a lot of attention. A lot of people, you see that? They over here blaming us, and look at what they're doing. And people are going to give more ear to the liberal media than they are to the right-wing media. You might not agree with me, but that's how I see it. And I'm like this. Those of you on the right and you're doing movies and media and stuff like that, don't stoop down to the level of the liberals to get your point across. Be as honest in your work as you can be, but don't stoop down to the level of the liberals, because at the end of the day, you're going to be the one looking silly, not the liberals, because they have the louder voice in our media world today, with the exception of probably radio. And I am not just trying to discourage you from watching this movie. I'm just saying, be careful when you know, people are, oh, they singing the praises and everything and stuff like that. And it might bring more attention to the issue of child trafficking. And that might be a good thing, because I tell people, you know, one of the closest ways to get me to hate you is you mess with little kids. You mess with little kids, you know, you have no sympathy from me for whatever happens to you. And a lot of people, they say, oh, they're coming against us because, you know, we're putting out this movie. You know, and like I said, the liberal media is going to get their voice is going to be the one that gets heard. And if you want to see where I got my information from, I listened to a podcast called Red Pilled America. Patrick Carelci and Adriana Cortez, they're a husband and wife. They're about my age, but they do an excellent podcast called Red Pilled America. And you can check it out. You can check out one of their segments in which they explain the problems that they have with the sound, with the Sound of Freedom movie. And I'm just saying, folks, whenever, you know, someone puts out a movie and they call themselves conservative or right wing, still be careful about it. Because just because they're conservative or right wing does not mean that they're always going to follow the truth. And I hope I'm not offending anybody when I say this. I'm just stating my point of view. And if you want to see the movie, that's fine. You got that freedom. I'm not going to discourage you from watching the movie. I'm just saying, be careful. Don't just get caught up in it. Oh, that's what happened. Oh my goodness. No, it didn't. It didn't happen the way that they say it happened in the movie. But anyway, I am going to go. And people, forgive me if I sound like I'm going here and there today, whatever. I probably didn't get enough sleep last night. You know, my wife and I, we were out at Best Buy yesterday looking at a new stove because we've had this stove, our present stove, we've had this since we moved here in 2005. You know, that's 18 years. And it's already showing signs of wear and everything. And the landlord that we have now, he's not the landlord that put this stove in our house. So when my wife called him over to see if he could fix the stove, and he was like, I've never seen a stove like this before. You know, so our stove didn't get fixed. So we said, you know, we're going to take it into our, you know, take it upon us to get us a new stove. And, you know, we're out there, and then we went out to eat and everything. And, you know, we had a wind down when we got home last night, and I probably only got about 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And then this morning I got up, went to, you know, meet some men at a breakfast. And then I went out, you know, got me some exercise and whatever today. So if it sounds like I'm a little off, it's probably because, you know, I need to get some rest. But you know, don't worry, I'm going to get my rest. But anyway, we're at the end of the first hour. I'm going to go ahead and do the advertisements. And when I'm done, I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Secondly, we're in a situation where we have put together, and you guys did it for our administration, the President Obama's administration before this, we have put together, I think, the most extensive and inclusive voter fraud organization in the history of American politics.
If you have a show that you are looking to get on the air on a network, CNM is looking for you. Give us a call at 505-317-8741 or email us at conservativenationmedia, all one word, 2017@gmail.com. Send us a short MP3 giving us a sample of what you would sound like, the day you want to be on, and the time you want to air your show, and we will do the rest. CNM is a talk radio network with a conservative bent, and we love America, her Constitution, her laws, and we support our boys in blue and our military, too. Come join us and get yourself on the air. The days we have available for new shows is Monday through Thursday, where we have no shows, and we can accommodate one show more on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Give us a call and see if we can get your show on the air on CNM. And see what happens then, where America always wins.
Did you know podcast advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service? Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Sorry about that, you all. I turned my microphone off for the advertisements, and nothing is more frustrating than realizing you've been sitting here talking for about 3, 4, 5 minutes and realize your microphone is off. So that's on me. That's on me, you guys. I just need to be more alert to, you know, when I, you know, do that type of thing. But of course, you just heard the Fruit Bat alert, and I am going to go to the phones. And if you are on the phones and you want to indulge in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks and things of that sort, excessive profanity, gaslighting, you know, things like that, then you best hang up right now, because I will be happy to oblige you if you feel like you can indulge in those type of activities to get your point across. Okay. Like I said before, we are adults here, and we can involve ourselves in mature dialogue. But having said that, let me go to the phones. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Hey, I know I had a little black spot there, you know, after the break. I forgot to cut my microphone on, but anyway, I'm on now.
Yeah, no problem, man. I understand things happen, man. And just to let you know that I sent you a link on what we were talking about earlier today. You might want to check it out, too, later on. And I still need you to send me that stuff that I told you earlier today. But I'm just sitting here, really don't have nothing to say. I'm just sitting here relaxing, resting as I should, listening to the show, man. You know, you're doing an awesome job, man. And just keep on keeping on, man.
All right. I appreciate that, Iredale. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Okay. Let me get my second caller. Hello, caller. As if I don't know who this is.
I don't know who excites these fruitbacks the most. Them sirens are the last voice of this, the voice of that last call, but they jumping all over the place.
What's up, Bianchi? I'm trying to make it through this show today. I'm not feeling 100% right now, because, like I said, I probably didn't get enough rest last night, because me and my wife, we went out, you know, looking at stoves and going out to eat and all that type of stuff. Probably didn't get enough rest, but hey, the show must go on.
Well, you know, I hope all you colored people are doing fine today, because that terminology seems to get one woman out of Ohio all upset, a congresswoman by the name of Janice Beatty, when you had a black female. We had a white male congressperson representing Arizona by the name of Mr. Crane, C-R-A-N-E. I got his first name. But apparently he used the terminology, he used the phrase, colored people, and he's got this woman all upset, saying that he has no right to be calling black people. And how did she know he was calling about black people anyway?
I mean, for real.
And wants him to have the verbiage that he made to be struck out of the record. Well, I think that woman is crazy. She's at least ignorant. And it don't make no sense, man. You got these people popping up all over the place. And these black insensitive Joyce Beatty, I wonder if she was a member of the NAACP. It's the National Association for Colored People, right?
Yeah.
And she wants to rebuke this spokesperson for using the term. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Myself, his name is Eli Crane in Arizona. So, of course, you know me. I'm going to go make a point to some people. Oh, he ain't got no business, John. And we gave up. I said, well, damn. You got books on this that studied and looked at during, quote-unquote, Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Gates. Henry Louis Gates done a book called Color People.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
A memoir.
Yeah.
You got another book by Nafisa Thomas, Heads of the Colored People. You got the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People wrote a book, The Fight Against Lynching. Another textbook of the origin and history of the colored people by James Pennington. Another book for kids, Colored People Time by Amber Rose. The History of the Order of the Eastern Star Among Colored People. You know, that's the Adeltas. Then our famous Ben Crump wrote a book called Open Seas and Legalized Genocide of Guess Who? Colored People.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, The Colored Patriots of American Revolution. Now, those patriots had to fight for the British. Cromwell, I guess, what was that guy's name? I keep forgetting it. Stone, it comes to me. Now, hell, you had blacks that fought with George Washington at Savannah. They were Haitians. But what I'm saying is these people, and guess, you know, one of the earliest publications that was done was The Condition, Elevation, Immigration, and Destiny of the Colored People of the United States. It was by Martin Delaney way back in 1852.
Mm.
I don't even think you were born then, were you?
No, I don't think I was. You may have been born then, but...
I just kind of get my bearings straight there for a little bit. But no, this woman was totally ridiculous. Nobody called her out on it. And I don't understand why they just sit back and let this shit happen. And and he must not know history itself. See, that's if you're gonna fight these leftists nowadays, you got to get down and dirty with them and clobber them across the head and intimidate them. Whereas open their mouth and make such ridiculous statements because they don't know who's in the room that's gonna check them and shame them.
Yeah.
But that's, and the whole idea was about diversifying the middle for the reason that we see that affirmative action was used wrong by putting people in place because of the color of their skin rather than about merit, which is totally ridiculous.
Exactly. And I've heard the term people of color so much from black folks. If I had a nickel for every time I heard it from a black person, I'd probably have my own radio studio. You know, they talk about people of color all the time, but someone gets up and talks about colored people. Oh my goodness, he called us colored.
Oh, yes, you know how they use
it. You do it all the time.
Al Sharpton is blacks and browns. You know why?
Yeah.
Because blacks are starting to move away from these schools, so they want to try to capture and bring browns in it, that is being Latinos. Latinos don't want to have nothing to do with that. That's why they formed their own organization called La Raza. They want to be part of no damn NAACP. And it shows, too, because when it comes down to economics and academics, guess who they have surpassed? Blacks. Native blacks.
Exactly. And they say, you know, we want to get by on our own merits. We don't want anyone telling us, you know, hey, we're going to give you an upper hand. They're like, hey, we want to get by on our own merits. And that's why a lot of them have migrated from the liberal side and have come to the conservative side, because unlike your typical black person, I don't like saying it like that, but you know, I have no better way of saying it. Unlike your typical black person, they see what's going on. You know, they're not going to sit there and just look the other way and just say, oh, well, you know, I'm just going to do this. Of course, most of them are probably going to vote liberal on the next presidential election, but not to the extent that black people do, you know, because I don't know what it is with black folks in this country. We just want to wallow in the cognitive dissonance, you know, and you can point out, you know, that what is actually going wrong. You had to prove, you had the evidence, but they still want to follow the way that they believe, you know, they still want to follow their point of view like they have been before the truth was revealed to them, you know, and it gets kind of frustrating a bit, you know. It does. I know some people will probably be like, well, don't let it frustrate you, but it does. It does.
You know what's satisfying, though? When you read all the stories and you look at all the data and statistics of the black families and these black, what they call them, elite, but they're very strong and structured and accountable communities. There's a lot of them.
And yeah. Oh, yeah.
These people don't want to be mentioned because, you know, they're probably working in an environment with some of those other blacks on the other side that like to denigrate and castigate black conservatives who have those ideas. And you know, one of these days you need to do a comparison between what they call black conservatives and other blacks on the other side. You need to do a comparison. And so, because people ask someone, what is a black? Well, do a comparison on one of your shows. And I contribute, I guess. Any other people can contribute. I know Schwartz can. Do a comparison, and we show them what our ideology and ideas and what we consider functionality within a family look like. I mean, what's wrong with families sitting around a table and holding hands around the table when they go to bless the food rather than grabbing your plate and running to your room, shutting the door, and listening to your TV? You got about four bedrooms that happen with four different TVs going on. And who Lord knows what else. I mean, what is wrong with that? Huh?
Yeah.
What is wrong
with
wanting your kids to get a damn good education? And you don't want your kids to be, you go to the principal and say, look, when you have this going on in the classroom, because I can't out of the school because I just don't have the money, but I don't want my child to participate with this. That's a conservative point of view, ideology. What's wrong with that? That's the child.
I mean, really. And keep in mind, there are a lot more black conservatives out there than people really think. I see them all the time on YouTube, and it does me a lot of good to see that, you know, because sometimes you can feel like I don't know if you're familiar with the prophet Elijah when he went on Mount Carmel and he challenged the prophets of Baal, and he was like, you know, I am the only prophet left in Israel, and God had to get on straight and say, no, you're not, because I have 7,000 prophets that haven't bowed down to Baal, you know. And it's the same thing here. You know, a lot of times you feel like you're the only one until you expand your borders and you start getting on social media or something like that. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a lot more of us out there than I actually thought, you know. And it's real encouraging to see that. You know, and we have to get out of this this lemming collective mindset, you know, that the way one of us thinks is the way all of us should think. You know, one person's experience is everybody's experience, you know. And that leads me to another thing that I'm sick and tired of from our so-called black leaders, is they always get up there and they act like they talk for all of us. No, dude, you don't talk for me. You know, I was watching an Al Sharpton video today when he was in a church, you know, and he was talking about, you know, he said, yeah, a lot of y'all thought that our work was finished, but then Donald Trump got elected. And it just reminds you that the work, you know. I was like, you know what, The preacher should have gotten up there, taken his podium, and beat him over the head with it. I mean, for real.
Yeah, when Obama got elected, he started showing up on CNN. That tells you something. I always pay attention to those fine details like that.
Yeah, yeah, and
you see
yeah,
what it
exactly.
Could. Roland Martin was on the water. What's his name? Oh, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead Roland Martin. Who was he going to talk? He was on CNN, too,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh, I think he's the worst one out of all of them. Roland Martin. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
I listened to that man. I can't even watch a full video with him on it because I'm like, man, let me turn this garbage off. That dude.
Eric Dyson and his debates with Judge Joe Brown, and, you know, all that crazy. I mean, no, and the funny thing, the reality is, how many people care about this stuff? Like, you only got some that made some bad choices in life, went right when they should have went left, went forward when they should have backed up, and now they got to deal with it, and they're angry. They are angry.
Yep.
And
I mean, for real.
This, even during the Civil Rights Movement, those that was out there tearing up and burning up stuff didn't benefit from those. It was those who applied themselves, went to school, so on and so on. They don't want to benefit from it because they was looking meritocratically in what it was that they was doing. Look at all the education achievements that went on. We talk about Martin Delaney in 1852. This man graduated from Harvard. He was a colonel in the United States military. Graduated from Harvard now. That means he had to go to school before Harvard in order to prepare himself for Harvard. I think he was a medical, I think he graduated with a degree in medicine, but I'm not sure because there's so many of them, you hard to keep up with them. You know? But anyway, I'm going to let you get to the other callers because I know they got a lot to say, and always good to let
somebody
air out.
Yeah, I got somebody else raising their hand. Let me see who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, Vince, you know, usually I start off my comments by making some crack about fruit bats, but I swear to God, man, these fruit bats are getting so absurd now. I mean, these fruit bats on the left of all stripes, it's almost impossible now for me to find a way to parody them. They literally parody themselves. And it would be funny if they weren't doing to destroy this country once a day. But anyway, I'm at a loss of words. For the first time since I've ever been calling you, make crack about fruit bats because their reality is becoming even more absurd than any crack I can make. But, I heard Brother Bianchi just a moment ago, and I know Brother Bianchi knows the answer to this question. He's proposing a rhetorical question of which I would like to answer for those who might not be quite as clued in as Brother Bianchi, you, and myself are. So I'll tell you what's wrong with the family that behaves the way Brother Bianchi said when he posed this rhetorical question as to what's wrong with the family that prays together. I'll tell you what. Because that sort of family is less to be reliant upon the government, to be beholden to the government, and to help to expand the powers of the government to interfere in our lives and diminish our liberties. Because the entire, not the entire, but one of the primary purposes of the left is to seek and aggrandize power, totalitarian power, to the extent they can possibly accrue it over every aspect of American life and culture, every single one. And to support my premise, I'd like to go back to what Brother Bianchi brought up about this representative named Eli Crane and his little contretemps with this woman named Beatty. This Democrat demon rat from Ohio. Well, I'm sorry, Democrat. Okay, I don't know if she's quite as much of a demon as a lot of demon rats are. But, you know, and look, let's put it this way. This is, first of all, let's get one thing straight. He made an archaic reference to black people. In the sense of being archaic, it's out of touch, it's old-fashioned. He said colored people. Now, colored people, once upon a time, meaning black people, for the most part, enthusiastically embraced the term colored people as an alternative to Negro or black. I mean, it was not like colored people was some sort of offensive term to the great majority of black people in the United States. I remember, because I grew up at a time when people used the term Negro and colored people. And most black people prefer the term colored people. So it's not like you're using like the word, the N-word. Oh, boy, I know I hate to use that word, too. But the N-word, not like, because black people never embraced that socially or culturally, at least not as a public expression of what they were. But colored people, yes, they did. They embraced that word enthusiastically. Now, today it's fallen out of favor. It's archaic. And I would have to tell Representative Crane, don't use a term like that, because it doesn't offend me at all. It didn't offend me one little bit. I mean, I don't care. I really don't care that he used it, because I'm looking at the context in which he said it. I say, Mr. Crane, don't use that word. And here's the simple reason you shouldn't use that phrase, because we got all kind of cultural Marxists and leftists, both white, black, and other, who have their racial sensitivity radar turned to high gain, and they look for any little slight to raise a ruckus about something. Any little any little thing that gets a little panties in a bunch, they're going to raise a ruckus about it, and that's what this woman did. Now, what bothers me about it, Vince, is that Mr. Crane was raising an issue that is infinitely more important than the microaggression caused by using the word colored people. You know what he was talking about?
Yeah.
He was talking about a proposed amendment to the defense bill that says, my amendment, and this is a quote from what he said, my amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody concerned. Notice how he differentiated between colored people. He didn't use the clumsy Marxist term of people of color. He said colored people. So I guess that would include all the other people of color other than black people, because he goes on to say colored people or black people. So he differentiated between colored people and black people. He just didn't use the stupid, clumsy Marxist term of people of color. Okay? Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big, and we understand you're only supposed to use the language that commies and Marxists tell us we can use. We're not allowed to use our own interpretations anymore. We got to follow their strictures. But anyway, that's what he did. He made a clear differentiation. I don't get what the problem is other than the fact that some woman wanted to get her panties in a bunch about the fact that he used it. But here's what, again, this is what really bothers me about it. He was bringing up an important issue about the armed forces and this diversity, equity, inclusion mania that is clearly weakening the armed forces of the United States. Because he goes on to say, and I agree with every single word about what he says here. One, he says his amendment would prohibit the Defense Department from considering race, gender, religion, political affiliations, or, quote, any other ideological concept, unquote, as the sole basis for recruitment, training, education, promotion, and retention decisions. Is what he, another quote from him. The military was never intended to be, you know, inclusive. Its strength is not its diversity. Its strength is its standards, said Crane, a combat veteran. And as a fellow combat veteran who has served in three wars, I agree 1,000%. Nothing is more important than having a soldier or comrade behind you, whatever service you're in, competent, highly trained, and prepared to close with, engage, and destroy the enemy by virtue of their merit to do so. I that is the bottom line for me for everything, and nothing else matters more. Nothing. I don't care if all of them are black or all of them are white. I want people who are going to be able to do the job, who will back me up when it's time for them to back me up, and will accomplish the mission that protects this nation, because the armed forces is the most important single institution in the federal government. Period. End of story. And he was talking about the things that are weakening that institution, that is causing it to make not make its recruiting goals. I've never seen worse recruiting goals for the armed forces since the end of the Vietnam War. They can no service is meeting its goals of recruitment. And I believe most of it, not all, but most of it is due to this mania for diversity, equity, inclusion, transgenderism, the literally insanity of the things they're trying to do in the Army. It used to be the best single integrated organization in the government, any government entity in the United States. Now they are, the leftists have taken it over. because the milk that's got to follow the orders of its legitimately elected leaders, and they can use the little petri dish, their social experimental laboratory, and that's what they're doing now that is causing it to be weakened and not prepared to accomplish its mission. So what was lost in all the controversy over the use of the word colored people was the very important issues that Representative Crane was trying to raise to ensure that our nation stands ready to protect it and ensure our national security. That's what bugged me about it. These leftists focus on the trivial to the extent of at the expense of the vital. And that's what one of the things I can't stand about leftists. They do it every time with everything. I mean, with everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care that he used the word colored. I would tell him again, I like to reiterate, sir, don't use that word. It's archaic.
Yeah.
And it gets all these neurotic black folks and others, and there's a lot of white folks who are the same way, get their panties in a bunch because they got their racial sensitivity radar turned to high gain 100% of the time. You can't reason with them. They're not rational. So don't do it. Don't give them an excuse to obfuscate the very important points you're trying to raise that are literally vital to our national life and the lives of our soldiers who are going to be called upon to close with, engage, and destroy the enemy or defend this country against them.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
Yeah,
I can't stand it. But it's the way we are now. If we got to have this fight, let's have this fight.
Yeah, that's them trigger words, you know. They, you know, in the Bible it says people who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, you know, they're so hung up on him saying colored people, and they just totally missed the big picture.
I want to remind, don't say it, Mr. Crane. Don't use that word again, please, because you had something important to bring up, and these people use this silly little beef to obfuscate the more important issue at the moment. Oh, and there's another thing too. Vince, that this came out, and you know what? The California, the land where all cultural and legal and political viruses originate and spread to the rest of the nation. Have you seen what they're trying to do in that benighted state today? Guess what?
I see they're trying to decriminalize crimes against children, and it was something else. I can't remember. Does it have something to do with they're trying to push reparations
for black
folks?
Yes, but specifically what it is. 852. It just passed the California House of Representatives. Now it's going to the Senate for consideration. And what it requires is it would add a code that requires, note the word I just used, requires a judge to take race into account when they sentence a convicted criminal.
Oh,
required
to
take it into account. And this is a statement from the bill. This is from the bill. I am reading from the bill, Bill 852. It is the legislature to rectify the racial bias that has historically permeated our criminal justice system, as documented by the California Task Force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans. And it says piece of legislation would require jurists to consider race in sentencing a defendant, not them as an individual. No. Not their individual circumstances, no, but to look at the history of racial systematic racism in the country. I guess dating back to 1619 when the United States didn't even exist. These people are sick. There's something wrong with them in every aspect of their being and their belief system. I mean, every single aspect. They are literally trying to codify racism.
Yeah.
Codify
it. I think it was Pianki who shared that with me this week. I saw that, and I said, oh, my goodness, you know, please, Scotty, please beam me up, you know, please, you know. I don't think there's any more intelligent life down here, you know. Just beam me up and send me to another planet, you know, because I don't know what people are thinking when they bring something up like this. You know, you need to consider the person's race whenever you sentence them and everything. How about sentencing them for the crime? You know, bump the race.
But wait a minute. Just think about it for a minute now. How are you supposed to consider their race? Are you supposed to consider it in their favor? Or are you supposed to consider it against them? You're only supposed to consider
That's
it?
True.
What does that mean? Just when is that
a factor
in considering what an individual gets after they've been convicted of a crime? You look at the totality of that person's life and their relationship to the criminal justice system. If they're a first-time offender or not, what is their likelihood for reform? What is a whole host of factors, you know, including factors in mitigation, which may mitigate the sentence. There's many things you can look at, but the one thing you should never consider as a factor in either ameliorating or aggravating this sentence is their race.
Yeah. That's that victimhood mentality, you know, trying to dig his ugly tentacles into everything again. You know, black people
want
have suffered so much, you know, we need to consider their race. You know, they've already suffered, so they shouldn't suffer as much as a white person does when they go to jail, you know.
These people want to turn us into a big falcon nest. I mean, that's what they want. They turn the United States to the Balkans, the United States to Yugoslavia. That's what they're looking to do. And if we let them succeed in it, that's what they will do.
Yep. I mean, we're living in cuckoo banana town now. and some of the most ridiculous stuff just comes down, and people are like, yeah, that's a good idea, you know. And you're like, wait a minute, what did IQs just drop, you know, over the past couple of decades or something? I mean, what the heck is going on, you know? And, when I heard that one, I said, oh, my goodness.
Vince, you know, the one thing I have never thought since I stopped being a leftist and a radical myself, because once upon a time I used to be a radical and I'm not, you know, a black racialist and all that. I was a race man to my heart. But, you know, the one thing I have stopped doing since I left all that behind me, thank God, the one thing I have never done is to say, even though I understand that black offenders of certain serious crimes are disproportionately represented as offenders in the criminal justice system, despite my knowledge of that, I have never seen the sentencing of a person duly convicted for a crime who happens to be black as being representative of black people in my life since I reformed myself. Yeah. Never. I look at them as an individual who was arrested and or indicted for a crime, who went before a jury, either plea bargain or went before a jury in order to have a verdict reached against them. Assuming that everything was done constitutionally and legally, they are now to be sentenced. I have never seen that individual as representative of black people, because they're not. The overwhelming majority of black people do not commit serious crimes, murder, rape, or robbery. The overwhelming majority of black people don't. So there is no way a convicted criminal can be representative of black people. He's a representative of himself and his individual circumstances. Period. End of story.
Right.
With those.
That's right. Need to bear the consequences of your actions, you know, and color should never have a play in all that. You know, it should never be about, you know, this race has suffered this and everything. And oh gosh, you know, they keep bringing up that same old song and dance every year, year after year, year after year. Oh, black people this, and black people that, and black people this, without realizing that black people weren't the only people who have been oppressed. They're not the only people who have been enslaved, but they just keep pushing that point. And they I don't know why they keep.
Well, you do know why. Come on now. Say it. You know why? You know why they do it.
Yeah.
They're Marxists.
Yeah.
They believe in class warfare. They use classes. They believe in dividing groups against other groups, pitting groups. This is the way Marxists have operated since the time of the Russian Revolution, even before, back to the French Revolution in 1789. It's all of a piece. This is the way they have always operated. And in this case, the division, rather than being simple economic or social classes, like it was in classical positivism. Today, it's along the lines of race and culture, but it's still essentially the same thing. Dialectical materialism, and that's what they excel at. Nothing else.
Yeah.
They don't excel at governing or making life better for people. They excel at class warfare and divisiveness. It is almost a sacramental religion. Their liturgy. It's the way they roll.
It certainly, and that's their number one tactic. That's the only playbook in that's the only play they got in their playbook. And sad to say, you know, for some time, you know, it's been working effectively, even though it leads to eventual failure, you know. And you got people in this country who keep pushing, oh well, capitalism this and capitalism that, capitalism this, capitalism that. But you know, when you look at the history of communism, it has never succeeded everywhere it's been applied. And folks keep trying to push it, you know. Yeah, I want, and our young people, and this is the reason why I would not push for a young person to go to a major university, you know, because that is what they are turning out in the universities. They're turning out little Marxists who go out and they push that doctrine of Marxism around the country, around the world, you know, and they're trying to poison their minds. And, you know, I see people, you know, they say, oh, my child's going to UNC, my child's going to Yale, my child's going to USC, but they don't realize that those are basically communist factories turning out a bunch of Marxists whose stated goal is to wear down the principles that went into the founding of our country, you know, and that's all they want. That's all they want. They don't want anything conservative. They don't want anything capitalistic. They don't want anything Christian. They want to be the ones who think for you. They tell you this is how it is. And if you don't think like we do, you know, well, you're subject to our ridicule. We're gonna verbally beat you down. And, you know, eventually those verbal beatdowns are going to turn into something physical. So, you know, that.
Well, I'm saying, man, I got to beg to dip you in one thing in which they have been spectacularly successful. Marxists, leftists, and Bolsheviks of all stripes. The one thing they've been spectacularly successful in historically is to spread misery, class conflict and warfare, and tyranny. They have been spectacularly successful at that.
Yeah.
In anything else, not so much.
Exactly. You know, and it is, and you know, you got the powers that be like AOC. Oh gosh, I think I just had a little headache when I said that. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know.
Let me give you the cup so you can throw up a little bit in your mouth and spit it out. Let me hand it to you.
Well, it's okay. I got a waste basket over here. You know, I don't know if the waste basket is big enough for
big, is it big enough? Is it big enough?
I don't think it's big enough. But you know, you got people like this dimwit. You know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You know, pushing for that garbage. You know, she's the product. She's a product of a major university, basically. And And they put for this democratic, you know, they say, well, democratic socialism, you know, it's better, you know, it's better than, you know, regular. No, it's all the same thing. It's the same beast. It basically is, you know, I mean, you just cloned it, you know, to satisfy your mentality or whatever, but it's the same thing. You know, I mean, this is the same thing that happened in Cuba and Russia. They sit there, they start pushing these ideals. After a while, they start getting a little violent and whatever. They pitting one side against another. You know, we see that right now with our political parties and whatever. And then, you know, they can just sneak right in and say, okay, everybody's communist now. And a lot of people who are pushing it, they really don't know what they are pushing. You know, our kids out here, they keep pushing the joys of Marxism, but they really don't understand what it's all about. And it's gonna mean that their freedom is gonna be taken from them. And when that freedom gets taken from you, you can't just say, oh, this ain't what I want. So let's go back to the way it was. Nah. Once they get their hold on you, it's going to take a it's going to take another revolution
Vince, we got to understand, Vince. Look, their appeals are superficially attractive. They use these wonderful sounding terms like social justice and, you know, fairness and equality translated to equity, which is one of their most pernicious, invidious ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And they say things like, and superficially, they sound very attractive. I mean, who wouldn't want a world that's air, unquote? You know? The devil's in the detail. You take a look at Russia, Soviet Russia, one of the great nations in the world, blessed with enormous amounts of natural resources, some of the most brilliant minds technically and scientifically, even at the time of the Russian Revolution, you could want to have, even though they weren't, you know, illiteracy wasn't widespread to the Soviet population. People that were very highly intelligent, skilled, literate, and essentially accomplished. And yet and still, look what the Soviet Union became. Look what it became. They couldn't have to get toilet paper. They were literally on a stand in line for toilet paper. I mean, and look at East Germany and West Germany, the same genetic people. They're the same genetically. They're exactly speak the same language, got the same culture. What was East Germany compared to West Germany as far as terms of prosperity, freedom, and liberty? An even better example, North Korea and South Korea. Again, the same genetic people speaking in the same language, frequently intermarried with each other across the DMV. Got there, they married each other. Yep. One country's prosperous, liberty-loving, a great deal of high material level and liberty for their people and material prosperity and everything else. The other country is mired in utter misery and degradation, almost starvation condition for many other populations. You can literally see the size differential in the people. Like, you look at the border guards and DMZ, you look at the typical South Korean, they're like 3-4 inches taller and 20-30 pounds heavier than their typical North Korean counterpart. They're the same people. Because one people's prosperous, they eat well, the other ones ain't.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't tell everybody all you need to know right there, then I have nothing to say to you. There's nothing I say to you. I mean, that means you are literally blind to evidence of your own eyes.
That's right. And let's not forget Ukraine too, you know. let's not and even though Ukraine and Russia they're pretty much the same people. They pretty much speak the same language and everything, and but it's not as much as
they're intermarried with each other. Person.
Yeah.
They're intermarried and you know, they got relatives in Russia and they got relatives in eastern Ukraine, which is the breakaway provinces or Donetsk and Luhansk. Those are the two provinces that want to break away, who are largely Russian ethnically. And that's what really started all. Actually, what started all was the Euro Maidan thing when the State Department and the Western Europe, the European Union, got involved in Ukraine's politics and decided they wanted to install a NATO European Union friendly president there. And they undermined the popular candidate, Poroshenko.
Yeah.
That's where it all got started. That's back 2014 under Obama, Victoria Nuland, and all those dummies in the State Department that engineered the thing.
Yeah.
Hey, well, there's one thing about Ukraine. Right, when that fighting started, they got rid of one thing they didn't want in their country, didn't they? They got rid of the blacks. They got rid of the blacks.
Oh, wow.
Well, I've seen some of the Ukrainian army very recently. I saw some that were on the front lines in around Mariupol before Mariupol fell. And I saw a few others in some of the infantry squads in the fighting around, what the hell? I was on some drawing a blank in this big battle. Bakhmut. There were black Ukrainians who were in the
Africans. Them African immigrants, they got rid of them. Got them out of the country.
Oh, the immigrants, maybe so, but they're still black Ukrainian citizens that are part of the Ukrainian army.
Mm-hmm. And they probably don't call themselves black. They call themselves Ukrainian.
Ukrainian. Yeah, they are. They're Ukrainians. Yeah. I mean, they're right there on the front line.
Yeah, you say you got somebody else trying to get in, Ben?
Yeah, I got someone got their hand raised. Let me get this caller in. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
You know who the real wombat is? I'll tell you who the real wombat is. It's that guy named Lieutenant. The lieutenant that people call Sarge. You know why? Because I sent him a text letting him know that people were worried about him. And do you think that Sarge would text me back to let me know he's okay? Hell no. So he's the wombat. Fruit bat.
I plead guilty. I plead guilty. I throw myself on the mercy of the court.
All right. Mercy of the court is awarded to Sarge. He must have been busy. How you guys doing?
I wasn't sick. My sister-in-law was, and her husband was in Africa on a visit, and I kind of fell on me to take her, shuttle her back and forth to her medical treatments, and because she got sick all of a sudden she got sick, and you know, and I had to you know go see how she was at the hospital and all that, and that kind of occupied a lot of my time.
Well, of course. I mean, look, I thought if you didn't text me or somebody else that, of course, you would be busy doing something. Just as long as you're okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
I do plead guilty. That still is no excuse for not just simply informing people who are concerned about me. And I do appreciate the fact that people were concerned about me, because I usually don't think too much about people being concerned about me, because, after all, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm used to being ignored. So, you know, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I really do.
Tell me about it. I served during the NAM era, too.
There you go. You understand what I'm talking about.
Oh.
So, you know, ever since then, I never expected anything from anybody. I said, look, if after what I went through over there, if they're going to say, well, too bad for you, move on with your life and forget about it, I said, well, there ain't no point of me expecting anything from anybody. So
I have to tell you, Sarge, okay, as one serviceman to another, thank you for your service. I had a plush job during the era. I was not in country. You were, so my hat's off to you.
Well, it's like I tell everybody there, Joe, and don't you shouldn't say that. I'll tell you why. Because, you know, look, if you're there, you're waiting. The balloon could go up wherever you are. Think about all the men, the guys who are living up, going to Piccadilly Circus in England for 2 years before the D-Day invasion. They were living it up, except for the hard training. When I got off, they go to Piccadilly Circus. They can hang out with the women. They were eating fairly well. Man, the conditions of living weren't always so great if they were living in military, you know, camps and all that. But they could have been a lack of recreation time. But when the balloon went up and they had to hit that beach, Omaha Beach and whatnot, all of a sudden they were in just as bad a situation as anybody else, because they had to wait for their turn. And when their turn came, they had to go. And if you're waiting for your turn to go, your job is just as important as anyone else. So don't downgrade it just because you didn't get shot at.
Oh, I don't.
It all depends.
I don't. Look.
It's simply a matter of luck of the draw.
That's true, and I believe I'm a part of the wheel. I'm a spoke in the wheel, and every
spoke
is important. However, I did not risk my life. So, again, my hat's off to you, Sarge, because I remember you were a tank commander. You served in country. I didn't. I was in the Air Force, and I was so glad, because in 2 years, there was an unwritten rule in the Air Force during that time. At the first 2 years, you could have gone to Vietnam, not necessarily in the front, you know, but you could have served at the perimeter, and you could have gotten your ass shot.
Joe,
so
do you know there wasn't, Joe, do you know there wasn't anything in the world other than artillery support I love more than hearing the sound of them jet engines coming overhead and seeing that close air support coming in where you need it? And knowing
baby,
the only way those jets are going to fly is if people fix them and keep them running, because they ought to have a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all, hey, it's like, look, if you look, think of the people who actually fight, they're like the end of the spear, the spearhead. How big is the spearhead in relationship to the shaft? Not very big. It's the smallest part of the spear. But the shaft is what enables the spearhead to get to where it's got to go. That's the way you got to think of everybody that's in support for the spearhead. They're just as important for the spearhead to get to where it's got to go.
I agree. We, you know, for the lack of a shoe, for the lack of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the lack of a shoe, the horse was lost, et cetera. And the lack of a horse, the war was lost.
There you go.
So,
That's it. I agree.
Yep, I agree. But at the same time, I'm still going to repeat myself, because I'm glad you came back alive. And there was a reunion of sorts a few years ago for people who were vets. And most of the people who showed up actually served in country or, you know, in Afghanistan, et cetera. And I went around telling people, glad you made it back. Glad you made it back. Glad you made it back. Glad you made it back.
Yeah.
Because
well, the only thing that bugged me about it, though, Joe, was when they'd rub it, the guys who are runners would rub it in your face that they're not facing this guy. That would irritate me to no end. But I understood how important they were.
Guys, I'm gonna have to end the show right there. You know, we're coming to the end of the show. This has been a great show, even though I wasn't, you know, totally in my mind. But next week, God willing, I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. Want you all to check out True Sharks TV at if you have a question or a comment. Check out TrueSharksTV@gmail.com or check out my website at blackbycoloronly.com. God willing, I should have another show next week. You all take care of yourselves. Stay safe. This is Vincent E. Brown. I'm signing off. Until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all take care of yourselves.